Welcome back to Empower, my power, your power, our power. I'm super excited to start the new year with the very beautiful and the very warm Shreema Rai. So today we will be talking about how to be a successful influencer. Many people think being an influencer equals taking selfies and just uploading them. Wrong. It's so much more. It requires planning, coordination, and most importantly, storytelling. You have to know your audience and what content will be appealing to them and tie that in with what you're good at. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my guest. Well, I've mentioned her already. I couldn't help it. Who is a successful mommy blogger, who is also a well-known award-winning fashion, beauty, and lifestyle blogger, digital content creator, and YouTuber, Shreema Rai. Shreema grew up in the United States and later settled down in Mumbai with her husband and kids. Her sense of mixing Western and Indian aesthetics in her tips-oriented blog has allowed her to create a niche for herself. She's been a banker, a model, and Mrs. India Globe. Well done, you.
Thank you.
She has launched her own curated style closet with Pernia's pop-up in the past and has been selected to act in a major Samsung's digital ad for a home appliance. This mother of two, and you cannot tell when you look at her, Shreema has an innate sense of fashion and balances a holistic approach to her lifestyle. And today we're going to be discussing on how to be a successful influencer while balancing a family life. So welcome, Shreema. Thank you so much for giving us time and your beautiful presence, because I've been dying to interview you.
I know. And we've been talking about this for so long, so I'm really excited that it's finally happening.
Yes. So I must, you know, before I dive in, I must say that she's one of the warmest people I've met. We met organically through work, yeah. And we just hit it off. I think it was at Gucci we met or somewhere. But we keep meeting at events and shoots, and she was so sweet. And I was like, I like her, you know. I like people who are smiling, who are warm, who are beautiful, of course.
I think that's what it's all about.
Yes, yes, genuine. So let's dive right in now.
Right.
Hi, Shreema. Let's start where it all started. What made you want to become a digital influencer? And before that, what made you switch careers from a banker to a model?
Right. The truth is, I really did not know what an influencer or a content creator. I didn't have all these terms, and I didn't even know this was a job profile at first. I honestly, after leaving my bank, I was writing content for a lot of fashion publications as a ghostwriter.
Okay.
And it was a way after I had... I left the bank when my older son was around 2-3.
Okay.
And I wanted to spend more time with him, and I wanted to focus more on him and just do like a light job for a few years. So writing, being at home. Then somebody said, open up a blog. And I opened up my own blog. It was at that time called The Urban Unwind.
Okay, nice.
And then I retitled it ShreemaRai.com later. But my main objective of opening up an Instagram account was via a friend who said, hey, you know, you've done a Mrs. India contest and you're, you know, searchable on Google. Why don't you open up an Instagram page and you can drive traffic to your blog?
Right.
So in August 2017 is when I actually opened up an Instagram account. And that's really late to the game. Like, I had, like, no clue. I was that auntie that had, like, no clue and only had, like, a Facebook account. You know, it was really like that. And when I opened up my Instagram account, that's when, within, like, a month or two, people started following me. And then brands started asking me, how much? And I was like, how much for what? really was like that. Like, I did not go and open up an Instagram account saying, okay, I'm going to be a content creator. I'm going to be this, like, digital influencer.
Right.
The point was just, like, I wanted to write and I wanted my blog to be successful. And ironically, my blog sort of has taken the backseat and my paid Instagram account took over.
You know, this is so funny because this is exactly what happened with me.
Yeah.
I literally started just over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I started my podcast
first.
You
told me. Yeah.
And I just, you know, so literally it was supposed to be, Instagram was supposed to be social media where I could show my work on off the podcast.
Yeah.
And I started creating content with my guests like we're doing today audio, video, everything. Yeah. And to promote the podcast, I thought, okay, let's use Instagram, Facebook, everything.
To promote it,
And then, like, you brands started reaching out, or even guests who had products that they were talking about, their brands would say, why don't you shoot our, you know, for us? And that's how organically it started.
Yeah, and I think that's the best way to grow.
Yes.
It just sort of fell into our laps.
Absolutely. It's like aligned.
Yeah, it's meant to be. Yeah.
Okay. So interesting. So being a mother, of course, as we both are, is a fulfilling and a full-time job.
Yeah.
And especially for you, because you have younger kids and they are, you know, two.
Yeah.
Okay.
And two boys. Yeah.
Two boys. Yeah. So how does documenting, blogging about style, beauty, health, fitness, family life, even travel, along with maintaining a family life, make you feel, and how do you find the balance?
So, to be honest with you, I get asked this question a lot. Many of my followers who are moms or even young girls who are like looking to for that future of, you know, getting married, having kids, they're like, how do you do it all? But the truth is, since I was working in a bank earlier for almost 7 years, and I was, you know, a new mother at that, you know, point when Bihan was just one or two, I feel like I'm living the life every working mother does. Like, I just feel like it looks more hectic for people on the outside who are coming to my page and seeing my life, because I'm showing you guys everything.
Yes, you're
but
sharing
today,
everything.
I honestly feel like that woman who is running a business from her home, maybe she's a home chef, or maybe she's working in a bank, we're all living the same life. Work-life balance for all of us is the same. It's just that you guys just get to see how hectic it is for me, because I choose to share it with everybody.
Absolutely.
Right? Nothing's changed. I feel overwhelmed many days. I have a lot of stressful days. It's a struggle to balance the kids' scheduling along with mine. It's all about that, spending quality time with them, making sure they're on top of their homework game, keeping them off screens. It's all the same.
Yes,
I'm not going to say that it's any worse for me than the next mother sitting next to me who's doing a job that's not on social media.
Right.
It's the same, guys. It's the same. We're all on the same boat.
Yeah. It's just that we share every element or a lot of elements more.
Yeah.
Even things like for travel, like people used to tell me, oh my God, you're always traveling. And then I said, you know what, actually, I used to travel even before I became an influencer, but you didn't know it because I didn't put it up, on social media.
Exactly.
So, you know, because of my husband's work and, you know, because we both love traveling, we always traveled a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not that I'm traveling to shoot content only.
I know.
So I'm traveling as a part of my life now, to shoot
and,
it.
And your life is about sharing, so it looks that way.
Yes.
But I will say that some of the tips I have for being a working mom who has a hectic work schedule along with raising kids is definitely build a good support system around you. That could be your family. If they're not accessible for whatever reason, then definitely hire some great help. And I think a lot of my followers know about my staff. They know their names. Like, they know that, you know, I'm not doing this on my own. And from the beginning, I was very clear that I will not try to hide that part about my life, because I felt like I would give other mothers a complex.
Yes.
Like, they would be like, oh my gosh, she's doing so much. Is she cooking and cleaning and doing all this?
Yeah.
Like, I'd never wanted to sort of be like that. I was like, no guys, I have help.
So this is more authentic. This is your life.
Yeah.
I think that's why even having a good team, having good staff at home, everything
build
helps,
that
right?
Build that support system around you. And number two, learn to be more organized. And if you're not naturally organized, I highly suggest reading books and motivating yourself.
Yeah, good tips, honestly. Yeah. So how do you plan your content, Shreema? Is it like on the fly, or is it organized? Of course, you did say be more organized.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a planned approach? You cover a wide range of subjects. So what is your favorite content? So there are two parts to this question.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite content to blog or shoot about if you have like a particular area that you really love?
Yeah. So initially when I started my page, my I guess the reason and what I wanted to sort of showcase was the fact that, yes, I was a Mrs. India Globe, but when I was doing Mrs. India Globe, there was no chance for me to do like a Miss any other contest. And the minute that I got out of that contest and I went to try my hand at acting, the minute I let everyone know that I was married or had a child, so many doors closed on me right then. Mm-hmm. And suddenly it was like, oh, but before you knew I was married or had a child, like the main you know, lead for that series was open. But the minute that I, yeah. you know, was married and had a child, it was like, oh, can you do the side lead? Or can you do, like, the evil sister or, like, some other role evil and not sister, the main? That's very... You know, and I was like, that's interesting. And this is, like, really back in the day. I won Mrs. India in 2009, okay? Mm. So that bothered me. And I was like, I feel like there's not enough women on the gram at that time who were representing, yes, I'm a mother, but we're doing fashion and beauty. So initially, my page was more about fashion and beauty, mostly 80%, because and if I just wanted like to just showcase that yes, you could be a mom, you could be a wife, but you can still dress the same.
Right.
You could still love fashion and beauty the yes. same that yes. you've always had, and that was my reason. Now we've come to a point where you know there's many more mothers out there representing.
Whole, like you told me, like there's a whole. You know, separate segment yeah. of mommy bloggers and
yeah.
you know they're doing so well yeah. you guys are all I mean yeah. I'm one too but I just don't get typecast yeah. into that because my son refuses to come in front of the camera
yeah yeah, yeah I
but
get that
that's another thing yeah. but yeah but so we are all the same I mean whether you're married or unmarried
yeah,
you still love fashion you still are yeah. working hard
yeah
you still you know love to wear like we still love to wear makeup or go have a nice meal or
Correct.
It's just being a woman right
yeah,
or being,
being
human yeah
and I definitely didn't want to sort of only do motherhood
right
and that's not what I've ever done on my page
absolutely
and I think that is why I sort of like grew initially very fast because people would come to my page they would see all of these like you know glamorous and very like style beauty tips etc and then they would go oh but you're a mom and I was like yeah,
yeah
I am you know so
yeah.
like that was the whole like you know drive honestly
yes.
behind it I don't have a niche yet I probably sometimes I think I should if I had to still list my favorite type of content it's still fashion and beauty honestly
okay,
but my
nice.
Page has never been like a motherhood page
yeah.
no it's never been a motherhood
yeah,
page
yeah.
it's just I show in under lifestyle, I show my family, but if
no,
you see
I agree.
My page,
I agree. You
it's
do everything
been,
beautifully, like
yeah,
whether it's
yeah,
fashion,
it's,
whether
but
it's
never been like every day naming like top 10 foods to give your kids, or you know, it's never
yeah,
been that vibe.
No, you, it's not,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I think it's quite well rounded. It is more about you
yeah.
as a person and everything that
it's
you like and
like,
live. You
yeah,
know?
It's just my lifestyle. And mostly I try to give tips to other women. I
okay.
try to say, this is the way to do your makeup, or this is the way that you can financially be smarter, this is the way that you could do this.
Yes.
That way. And it's a wide range, actually.
Yeah. So what are the resources or the kind of tools that you invest in? Like we spoke earlier, of course, mm-hmm. having a great support system and team
yeah.
is a given,
yeah.
you know, or maybe good management or whatever. Yeah, but what are the resources besides this, like you were mentioning,
yeah.
that even people should read books or, you know?
So for me, one of my greatest resources has been books and Googling and researching. I have always been called Miss Google within my friend circle, like from the, like everyone, like when they need like an answer to anything, for some reason I'm like their go-to and they'll, and if I don't know the answer, they know that I will do their work for them. Like I will
yeah,
literally
like
not leave that question until I Google
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I do that. I always say Google it.
Yeah, I'm generally like a little bit nerdish that way. So I think that drive really helped me because I do read a lot of books. I do sort of research things and I think that's important. So education as a tool, knowledge
yes.
as a tool, of course, number one. Number two is understanding that you have to invest in your business. I feel like, you know, blogging and content creation for me is my business. So if I don't, you know, buy the right equipment, okay, buy the right light setup, the type, the quiet, like, you know, my iPhone,
right?
It's an investment for me, right? Maybe I wouldn't really buy an iPhone or such an expensive phone if I didn't realize that the quality is what I wanted.
Yeah,
on
or
my
especially
page.
When they come out with latest ones, you feel, oh my god, the videos are really better in this.
Yeah.
Then I will invest in this.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So like
yeah.
you know, investing in the right equipment or whether. It's your lighting and also your team, like hiring the right team to do your videography for you, your editing for you,
yeah,
maybe your manager.
Thank you for that.
You know? And like today we're shooting this and we have a whole team behind us.
Yeah.
Helping us. Like, you know, so I think that's important. You have to understand to invest in your business initially and you will be broke, but that's okay because eventually you have to understand to be smart about those investments in your business to
yes.
have a long-term goal.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. And long-term success.
Yes.
Okay. So what advice would you give to anyone besides a lot that you're sharing very sweetly, starting from scratch, like maybe the base steps?
What advice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number one is be authentic. Like, I think that there's only so much that you can go on, like, faking your lifestyle or pretending to be somebody else or just copying somebody else's content or not really speaking your truth. I think that people are smart and they're going to see through that. I feel like, you know, to build that community that you want, you have to be authentic.
Yeah.
That would be my biggest advice. And number two is if you're coming into this business only to make money, then please walk out. Because the truth is, this is something that a lot of people are doing for passion. And when you do it with passion, it's a creative field.
Yeah.
Then I feel that somewhere people will start noticing you faster. If you're just in it because you think that it's an easy job, it's something that you can just do from home, and you know, it's easy, it's just going to make you a few bucks, I think that's not the reason to do anything.
You need a lot of patience.
Patience.
It takes time. It's hard work. And like she said, it's like a business. You invest first in it. You invest your time, money, energy.
Yeah.
And you have to sit back and wait. And
you do.
Like you said, you have to click with the audience. If you're authentic, it'll, you know, happen. Things will start moving eventually. It takes years, guys.
And it's 24/7 at times.
Yeah, that's true. So tell me, you're affiliated with some amazing domestic and international brands that you've worked with, like Ritu Kumar, Payal Singhal here, Mac, Bobby Brown, and internationally. When did the content creation become a business for you? How long did it take? How did the transition happen? And when did you plan on monetizing your content?
I never planned to monetize my content. Like I said, when I initially started, people asked me. And then I researched and realized that, oh, there is a job called influencing.
Right.
At that time, it was called blogging.
Right.
Okay. And
now it's content creation. You know how it keeps changing every couple of years. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was really uncomfortable with the whole influencer tag because I was like, do I want that responsibility of being called an influencer?
Yes.
And if I'm influencing somebody, I feel like that's a very important responsibility.
Correct.
Right? Especially when you have, when you do have a lot of young people following you. You know, like you want to influence them in the right way. So I think that one of the reasons or the ways that I started monetizing it was it started becoming monetized, honestly, within 6 months.
Right.
But it was like very low pay because I had no idea what my worth was. So I had no manager. I had no clue. And within, I think, after around 2 years is when I had a PR rep actually walked up to me and she said, do you understand how underpriced you are? And she had this like, you know, shake up moment with me and she was like, Shreema, like, like you have great content. And she sort of gave me that pep talk that I needed to really monetize my content and really understand the type of income that I can pull in. And that's when I started getting more serious. It took me a year and a half to really break through.
Mm-hmm.
It took me at least, like, top agencies wouldn't even, like, look at my face for a good, I think, one and a half years.
Right.
But I was just doing small work initially, you know.
Yeah.
So it took me some time. And that's why we say patience.
Yeah, that's why I said it. Because I've been doing this for 2 years, just over.
Yeah.
And I know for a year, year and a half, it was just me putting in,
putting in that
my life, what I like.
Yeah.
You know, doing my podcast, shooting with guests. And that was the first passion. And very similarly to you, I've actually mentioned this in one of my other podcasts, that for a year I used to, when someone said, oh, you're doing great work, we saw it on Instagram, you know, this is an influencer. And I'd say, no, I'm a podcaster. Because I had so many people run me down. But that's another tip.
Hmm.
You know, you have to be confident and have belief in what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because people say, oh, you're an influencer, so what? Hundreds and thousands of people.
Yes.
Everybody's an influencer. And then I would say, so I kind of was shying off it. And I would say, no, I'm a podcaster.
Yeah.
I'm just doing some influencing work. But I would not like that word like you.
Yeah.
And then later, I remember going to one or two events where there were like 100 influencers and they were the top level, you know, like you were like successful, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And they were so proud of their work and they were so good. And then they also then I realized a lot of them said, I'm a content creator, I'm a content creator. So I was thinking, okay, maybe that's the new term now, you know.
New term.
And so I started saying that I'm a content creator. I said, I'm not using the influencer word.
Yeah.
But then now I say it so proudly when I'm getting great work. When there are great people wanting to work with me, whether it's PR people or whether it's brands, it empowers you.
It empowers
you, know?
You to have that title.
It makes you even believe more in yourself and your work or your potential.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, so what if you're a mother? So what if you're not in your 20s? So what if, you know?
Yeah.
That's another thing because I've had so many younger girls who are established influencers come and me and the first thing in front of everybody they would say, And not in a nice way, but no. To point it out, oh, how's your baby? Or how's your son? And I would be like, you don't even know my son, but thank you, he's well. But they wanted to just kind of do that yeah. Oh, you know, you're older, you're a mother.
Yeah.
Because they would be like, you know, jumping about. Yeah. And one of the funny things, of the flip side, yeah. The funny things is when my team would initially tell me, I'm talking about authentic content yeah. now, and they would say, why don't you do these kind of reels? Because they're really trending. Why don't you do these kind of dancing videos? And I would be like, but that's not me.
Yeah,
I can dance in a party. You yeah, know, I can yeah. dance with my friends. But if I just start jumping in front of the... And we tried it. You know, my team knows. Yeah. We tried a couple and I just looked awkward.
Yeah,
you know, and I was like... Yeah.
It wasn't
and I said, you know what, let's just leave this. Let's do what I like. And let's just do it my way.
Exactly.
And of course you follow trends because that's what everybody wants to see.
Yeah, but you got to make it your own. You still
absolutely.
Have to follow the trends that really you can relate
so
to.
I think they're getting two for the price of one now in the podcast. We're getting good tips
really
for everyone.
Tips, yeah.
So I hope it really helps.
Yes.
So tell me, how did the... So you said obviously the work came and the transition happened.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you didn't really plan to monetize it. It happened organically. Like
it really
it
did happen
with us.
Organically.
Yeah.
So, I didn't even know what to price myself.
I still don't. No.
I'll help you.
No. So privacy and protection, the next mm-hmm, thing, mm-hmm. of course. What jobs do you say no to or have you said no to in the past?
I haven't really had to say no to too many jobs, but there was a point where I started to say no to a few brands only because I realized the brand and me would not be a good fit.
Right.
You know, like they would be looking for an audience. They would be looking for someone maybe who's verified, who has been in this type of industry for a while and established, which was great. But I just was not really like, you know, this is not a product that I would be using. So why would I be talking about
it? The authenticity doesn't...
Yeah. So I have said no to, but it's happened maybe I would say like 5 times.
Yeah.
You know, most of the brands who come to me are filtered through an agency or the brand rep has done their work and understood that my profile is matching with their brand.
Yeah.
And I think that it becomes very easy then because then the brands that come to you, you're very happy because you're like, I totally understand your brand. You know, you're a brand that I love. And sometimes when I do get skincare or food or anything, I do test it out at home first.
Right.
There are brands that I've tested out on myself and it didn't go so well. And I've had to tell the brand that, sorry, I'm really sorry, but I don't think that I can talk about your product because it didn't suit my skin and I won't feel authentic doing it.
But that's the same thing I was going to bring up as an example mm-hmm. from my side that I have sensitive skin.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I get great, you know, offers to do skin treatments or skincare. And I have to say no because I say, I can't really be authentic because I can't try it. I'm scared because I have very sensitive skin.
Yeah.
And the second thing is that if I cannot do the treatment, how can I pitch, you know, and say that do the treatment, you know? So the thing is that I kind of like try to be as genuine as
you
possible as well.
Yeah.
So Shreema, how do your kids and family feel about being photographed or part of your collaborations?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a pushback or, you know, how do you handle it?
Honestly, I get this question a lot and more so from even like non-bloggers who want to know how I get my husband into all of this whole world of like, you know, social media.
Right.
And initially it was like, I didn't try to get my kids onto my page. People recognized that I was a mother on Instagram and, you know, kids brands and baby food brands just came to me, you know, and started asking. I started blogging with my older son, who's now 12, but at that time he was like 3-4 and he was a natural. And I think it also helped because I used to do a few modeling jobs or blogging. Whenever I was doing my own shoots, my kids were always with me. Like
right.
I took them everywhere. Even if it was an outside shoot in a park, my child was over like in over there playing and I was shooting.
Okay, nice.
So they always saw like
so
the
they were
camera.
Used to it. Yeah.
They saw this they saw what I was doing and I think I was like an example for them at how easy and at ease I felt in front of a camera.
Okay.
So that really helped. And Rihan was just a really good, outgoing, very easy, non-camera shy child. So it became really easy. Of course, giving him a lollipop when he was cranky also helped. You know, bribing them with sweets always helps when you're trying to make them like say a line or can you smile or can you do that second take?
Right.
I think like all of us mom bloggers, okay, we're all guilty of that part. And then when the children got a little older, to be very honest with you, and they started realizing that this is a business and mama's actually making money, okay? Then it got really funny because right. once like, you know, at age 10, 11, Vihan started saying, oh, but can I also start earning, you know? And I said, sure, because I thought this is a great opportunity to show him how to work, okay? And he is working on my content with me. So I honestly now have an agreement. And of course, my seven-year-old followed the older child
brother,
and said,
yeah.
I also want to be paid. I also have a piggy bank. So my kids get paid.
That's
okay,
nice.
At this point, my 12-year-old and 7-year-old...
They're entrepreneurial already.
Yes, and what we do is we tell them, we are trying to embed in them that, yes, you will be getting X amount for each shoot that you do. And out of that money, X amount has to go for savings, X amount has to go for donation. And the rest, you can build up and do whatever you want. You can spend that money on yourself.
Right.
And they have their own little accounts. We have an accounts book. You know, that's how it really
that's
goes
so
at
nice.
This point.
And it's such... It's like, you know, they're having fun.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, learning about life skills.
They're
you know?
Learning how to work
yeah,
with me. Like,
work.
This is, you know, yeah. so they come on to the shoot and my
yeah.
younger one tells the videographer only two takes. You know, he's very, like, they're very professional at this point.
I love
and
it.
I don't have to give any lollipops because I tell them that if you want to do this shoot, this is what the shoot is about. I explain the whole thing. Only if you're ready to do it, I respect if you don't want to, if you're ready to do it and this is the amount that I'm offering you to do it. Then we're on.
Oh, fantastic. Inspiring in a way.
Yeah, this is how I do it.
So tell me, Shreema, what are the challenges of managing a public and private life and also managing and influencing a career?
Okay, this is very challenging.
Yeah.
Okay, this is very challenging. There are days where, you know, like everybody has their days, everybody has their weeks. They might be going through something personally that they can't really talk about to everybody, you know, and you might not be feeling your best.
Right.
But if you have a shoot and you have to smile, it's like, I think like even an actor might go through this, even a model might go through
yes.
this. You're on camera, so you just have to get your work done. And
right.
that's how it, that's actually, it's a very challenging part of my life, but the show must go on.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well said.
Yeah.
So any last words from the lovely Shreema and before I thank you, of course, for
yeah.
being here.
So nothing, I just think thanks guys for tuning in and for supporting me if you're following me and... Check out my page if you aren't.
Yes, Shreema
and,
Rai.
Yeah, that's it. God bless.
And your YouTube.
And my YouTube, yes.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, which I'm trying very hard now. To, you know,
no, you're fantastic. And I'm sure she'll go on to bigger and better things. For sure.
Thank you.
Great milestones. And thank you so much, Shreema, for having us over. And sharing your life experiences, your work experiences, and some
sure.
fantastic tips with all
yes,
of us.
Okay.
And that brings us to the end of a very special episode of my podcast with the beautiful Shreema Rai. Thank you, Shreema, once again for joining me and sharing your journey with all our lovely listeners at Empower.
Thank you.
And thank you, my lovely listeners, for tuning in as always. Sorry there's been a break, but we've come back with fantastic new podcasts, starting with the lovely Shreema Rai. So don't forget to catch up on all this and more, like fun content, you know, audio, video bites, and fun sessions on my Instagram, Meenakshi Kuwadekar. And feel free to email me anytime for anything on empowerbymeenakshi@gmail.com. And until then, as always, keep smiling, keep shining, have a fantastic week, everyone, and don't forget to own it.